Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. $5 game day pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Light. And $5 cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. At Mastro Subaru, you've got guys running that dealership that are stick carriers just like each and every one of you. And because of that, they are giving you a special deal that nobody else gets. Go to Mastro Subaru, whether it's in Orlando or right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Tell them you're a stick carrier and you get special stick carrier pricing just for being a Bucks fan. It's that simple. New and pre-owned vehicles, they've got a huge selection. You go in, tell them you're a Bucks fan, tell them you're a stick carrier, and they're going to take some money off of that price just for you. Mastro Subaru with two locations in Orlando and Tampa. Check them out at MastroSubaru.com.
Bucks Uncensored.
Yo, what the hell is going on with this team? It's like they don't want to win. They don't have the heart. I barely have a voice right now because I was screaming the entire game. I'm so tired of coming to Ray J, spending good money after bad, just to get my heart broken every week. What the hell is going on with this team? The defense played better, but they didn't exactly play lights out. Baker Mayfield still looked pretty good today. I'd love to say speak softly and carry a big stick, but I don't think we have the personnel or the goddamn nuts to do it. I'm out.
This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else it's not going to work. We are self-sustaining.
You see how we play as a family.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we about. I know what we about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. Let's play. One heartbeat. Let's get it.
Somebody that knows somebody that knows something about it. But I won't answer now. What, where, why? See, a lot of dudes like to act the fool now. I'm getting on live, but that ain't my style. So who he gonna get and what he gonna do? Run up on me if you want to. Goddamn pressing his homie. He's done up in front of his mama. I'm up the phone with him. And I get in the door and that's gonna go get him. I got food that'll go get him. Listen, man, the food and the food.
This is Bucks Uncensored. Almost within an hour and a half of this game coming to its conclusion, and the Buccaneers getting to 500 on the season. Six games in, and the Bucs are 3-3. And while you might be surprised to hear this, the Bucs actually did win on Sunday against a team in the Browns that I have said is one of the more underrated teams in the NFL. And a team, if we're speaking honestly on Bucks Uncensored, a team I was concerned about coming into this game. A team that had a couple of losses on the season, one in particular to the Saints, where they win if they had a decent kicker. Where have you heard that before? And a game against the Raiders to which they had a big lead and blew it. The Browns have been a team. They tied the Steelers. I don't get this notion of it should be a cakewalk because it's the Browns. Those that have said that after the Buccaneers win on Sunday are people that don't truly follow what's going on across the landscape of the NFL. You know, I started to think about what items I wanted to touch on, focus on, and discuss in this podcast. But the more I thought about this game today, and the more I have peeked around, I try to not be overly active on social media during Sundays. I'm not sure if many of you have realized this. But that's because I can't take it. I cannot take the negativity. It's just like, first off, I do question those that just sit on social media throughout an entire game. I guess I don't understand. Do you look at social media more than the game? Well, there's time in between plays. Oh, okay. How's that working out for you? Are you having fun? Because I mean, rarely do we see positive things. And my God, I have gotten into the point where I approve everything on the Facebook page. I mean, unless it's been repeated by like 20 other people, or if it's a clear shot, personal shot at somebody. Other than that, I've tried. I mean, I would say right now I'm approving 90 to 95% of posts. But dear Lord, I mean, I might have to change that on game day. First off, before we get into the game, I'm sorry, I'm going into rules here. How do you like it when you go on a Facebook page or something and somebody's just like, hey, that last play, terrible. Just a terrible throw. What does that even mean? Like, this isn't a text message to the world. Like, the page is supposed to, when you post something, it's supposed to generate, you want it to generate some sort of conversation. Maybe it's a question, maybe it's a comment. But I guess I don't think many of you understand that. So much bitching. And not to say that the Bucs played a perfect game, a clean game, or even, per se, a good game. Both teams struggled when it came to penalties. The Buccaneers had a lot more mistakes offensively and defensively. You've got week after week, and maybe I need to address this. Why does Jameis Winston get all of the blame, not much credit? If a wide receiver drops a pass, it's Jameis' fault for ball placement. If a wide receiver slows down on a route, it's Jameis' fault because he must have overthrown him. If the kicker misses a game-winning field goal at the end of the fourth quarter, it's Jameis Winston's fault. I mean, no matter what the guy does, he's at fault. 3-3, I saw a different team in the first half than I saw in the second half for the Bucs. I saw a different defense in the first half than I saw in the second half. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Kwon Alexander played the best half of football potentially in his career. I know he had a great game in Atlanta, his rookie season. His brother had died, turnovers. But that guy was a different football player today. And I don't believe that it was scheme. I believe it was a player who was embarrassed at his actions a week ago. A player that does not like criticism. A player that was dancing on the sidelines in the Mercedes Georgia Dome, whatever they want to call it up there, when they were down by 8. A player who has been a liability in coverage this year. And I think Quan Alexander was very prideful to make sure that that did not occur this game. But between all of us on this podcast, that's the way he should be playing every game. This is the NFL. This isn't like, hey, I'm going to just show up most weeks. I'm going to take the accolades. I'm going to color my hair red, you know, and you know, jump around like a Ly Tyrilla. No, you got to go out there and produce. That's the expectations. Okay? We're going to sit here and criticize Jameis Winston for his mistakes. That should hold true for all of the players on both sides of the ball. Quan Alexander did his job as good as he's ever done his job on Sunday against the Browns. At the time I'm recording this, the fear is that he has a torn ACL. If that is the case, he'll be out for the season. Quan Alexander, as reported, has declined the Buccaneers' contract extension offer. If he indeed does have a torn ACL, and again, at the moment of recording this podcast, it had not been confirmed. But if he does, I mean, sorry to sound insensitive, but he's not getting the big contract that many of you feared he was going to get. Even if he was healthy, there's no chance in hell I'm touching $10 million a year on a middle linebacker in a 4-3 defense. Not a chance. You want to sign for $5 million multi-year contract? That's fair for you. Nothing more than that. And if you think he's worth $10 million a year, then I don't see where you see that. First off, the value for a middle linebacker in a 4-3 defense, it's not overly high. Secondly, is this guy one of the top 5 or 10 dominant middle linebackers in the NFL? No. $10 million a year? I don't think so. $5 million with multi-year? Fair. Now that he's got the ACL, I'd sign him to a one-year deal and see what he can do next year. And honestly, that's likely the deal he's going to get. Unless he's going to take way less money or way less guaranteed money. Because it's risky for the Bucs now if he does have that ACL tear. But Quan Alexander played outstanding. Nassib played great along the defensive line. You know, I thought Lavonte David was solid. I thought MJ Stewart flew around. A couple of nice open field tackles. Offensively, they just can't run the football. They just can't. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's talent. I don't know if it's offensive line or the running backs. I am not. And I think this is why most of you appreciate this podcast. And I haven't even gotten to Catanzaro. But I'm not going to just place blame on Catanzaro for the missed field goal, for the missed extra point. I'll get to that in a moment. But I can't just cast blame on Ronald Jones and call him a bust. I know it's easy for a majority of fans to say Ronald Jones bust because he's not playing. But I have to question, I've questioned it since Jason Light became general manager and Dirk Koetter became offensive coordinator and then head coach. The usage of running backs within this organization, the evaluation of running backs in college, in pro, and their own running backs, along with the usage of those running backs, is appalling at times, and appalling most of the time. You're at the 1 yard line early on in the game, and you run the ball twice up the middle. What the fuck do you think's going to happen? What do you think's going to happen? Stopped. Safety. Peyton Barber gets 11 carries. Ronald Jones gets 6 carries. Jaquizz Rodgers gets like, I don't know, let's see, what did he get? 3 carries. So you're talking about a total of 20 carries for running backs for 53 yards or 51 yards. It's not going to cut it. I mean, that's not even close to cutting. It's downright ugly. I think Ronald Jones is showing more and more flash when he touches the football. One swing pass went for 15 yards. Did we see it again? No. Have we seen a screen pass to Ronald Jones to get him in open field? No. I had somebody say, well, why does this offense look so much different with Winston than it did with Ryan Fitzpatrick in it? Well, I mean, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, it looked great for, what, 3 halves. Second half against Philly kind of fell off a little bit, if I recall. Not a lot. First half against the Steelers, atrocious. Atrocious. Which is why he's been a backup. So inconsistent, and it's either all great or all awful. Great in the second half against the Steelers. I mean awful in the first half against the Bears. So, different offense. Well, the Bucs came out against the Saints, spread it out, and threw the ball all over the field. Did it against the Eagles as well. What do you think these are NFL defensive coordinators. You know, you don't have Lovie Smiths and Mike Smiths on opposing sidelines week in and week out. Teams make adjustments week to week, and teams make adjustments during the games. We haven't had a defensive coordinator that has done that, but other teams have. They're not giving up the big play. They're forcing them to work their way down the field. And that's, I mean, Jameis Winston, that's his game. Managing the offense. Put points on the board and win. They scored 26 points, left 4 more on the board from their kicking situation, but they still won the football game. So I'm not going to come on this podcast, get my heart rate up, bitch, moan, scream, yell, yet my team ended up winning and they're 3-3 on the season. You know, there were plenty of bad play. It was almost like for every bad there was a good, and for every good there was a bad for both teams. I mean, for the Bucs, bad. Evans drop. O.J. Howard drop late in the game. Carlton Davis, interference. Catanzaro missed field goals. Jameis Winston, not enough air, man. O.J. Howard is running free for a touchdown. It was a phenomenal read by Jameis. It was the right read. It was the right throw. Just had to have a little more air under it. You got to get it over the linebacker. He didn't. It was picked. So what could have been an unbelievable play and just sheer domination at the time, got to get it 6 inches higher. That's what she said. But for all of those negative plays, there was, I thought Adam Humphries had a solid game. I thought Godwin had a solid game. I had no idea Evans had over 100 yards receiving. They could have used him even more in this game. Ronald Jones showed some flash. Peyton Barber showed some flash. Defensively, it was great. I thought they were solid along the defensive line. I thought they were playing more as a team than they ever had before. One guy I saw on social media bitching because when they stopped him on that fourth down and they all got in a row and were pretending to row on the field, I fucking loved that. That showed a camaraderie and a chemistry that I haven't seen out of this organization in a long, long time. I feel like it's been so much more about me, rather than the organization. And that was a sign to me that maybe things are indeed changing. All we can do is hope for the change. But you have to live week to week. You know, listen, I get it. Everyone wants to be smart. Everyone wants to be right. So let's say what we can. Well, it was a win, but, you know, you can't play that way every week and think you're going to win. Well, fucking get it. I get it. And, again, I don't live in other cities. I lived in Tampa my whole life. I don't know if this is what happens in other cities, but damn it. You've got an undefeated college football team in this town, and a Bucks team that's 3-3 after the first six games, you would think neither of these teams have won a fucking game this season with as much bitching that goes on. I'm removing myself from the situation. There's a difference between debating, discussing positives and negatives, and just sheer fucking bitching. And what you're about to hear in the Bucks takes is sheer fucking bitching. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. I have been on that side. I have been on the bitch after bitch. I'm going to just bitch. I'm going to bitch and moan, mostly during my sports talk radio days. I have tried, and I think I've become pretty successful at it. I will say it was not easy for me. Transitioning from that bitch state mentality to, hey, we won the game. Yeah, okay, there are areas to improve, but I damn sure am not going to be upset. Because what I've learned after the last 15 years as being a fan of this team, and even before that into the 80s, wins are few and far to come by. So when you get them, you need to enjoy them. Because, quite frankly, when you're a fan of a franchise that doesn't win much, you have no idea when you're going to have that opportunity to experience a win again. So why not enjoy it when you get it? So my team, my favorite team, is 3-3 after six games. They've got two on the road coming up. I'm not afraid of going on the road. Bengals next week. They play Sunday Night Football. Again, I'm recording this before that. And then they've got the Panthers. We'll have a watch party at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Brandon for that one. But I can sit here and debate and discuss players that had good games and bad games. My team is one. They're 3-3. I'm going to be happy about it. They're not perfect. They have plenty of room to improve. But as of right now, I'm in a good place. And I've got so much less stress than a lot of you that are angry, upset, mad at the result that was given to you on Sunday. It's harder to be mad and a bitch than it is to be nice and happy. I'll go ahead and choose being nice and happy when this team gets a win. Again, plenty of items and areas to improve. But when I told you last Wednesday I had no idea how this game was going to unfold, it unfolded the exact way I had no idea it was going to. But as they were in overtime and nearing the end, it did sound at the time like a fitting way for this game against these two organizations to end in a tie. And Christian from Headlines Barbershop, I'm sure will get us a Bucks take, and he'll play it, but I called it. And it's not like an opinion, but I said if I was Dirk Cutter, it was, what, 3rd and 30 or 2nd and 30? No, it was 3rd and 30. I said I'd do a 15-yard route. I get close to the 40-yard line. I put Catanzaro out there. And I try to win the football game. Because punting in that situation, give the best thing you can play for at that moment is a tie. And Dirk Cutter had been aggressive as the head coach, overseeing the offense and defense. They were aggressive on defense. They were aggressive on offense in the first half. I still think they tailored off in the second half, and I don't know why they continue to do that. But the right move was made at the end of overtime, not at the end of the fourth quarter. Settling on that field goal, yes, listen, you want the time to run out, but you had some momentum. You were moving it down the field. You do have to trust your kicker, but, man, in overtime, that was the right move. You're not going to get 30 yards. Get 15. Catanzaro has a big leg. It was the accuracy that's the issue. Give him a shot. Give him a shot not only to redeem himself, but to, dare I say, maybe break a curse. I don't want to take anyone's Bucks take away. They get the 15 yards. They trot out Catanzaro. You heard it at the beginning of the podcast. Crushed it. Nailed it. Got the win. exciting finish, exciting game, beautiful weather. And in the end, it doesn't even matter. 3-3. They could have started 0-3 and then won the last three. They could have started 3-0 and lost the last three. They could have gone back and forth, back and forth. Doesn't matter how you get there. It's just that you're there. The Bucks are 3-3. Bengals and Panthers on the road before coming home. These next two games might tell us whether or not this team is playing meaningful games into November. And then ultimately, or I'm sorry, late November, not early November, late November and into December. I'd like to experience that again. Wouldn't you? Bucks win. They're 3-3. I'm happy. Not ecstatic. Obviously, there's still room for improvement, but I'll have a smile on my face this week. I hope you will as well. Now, just a warning. The content you're about to hear requires parental advisory because these Bucks takes, not the happiest of people. Actually, it's almost as if the Bucks actually lost the game. And who's not ready to listen to those? They're coming up next. This is Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored.
Beautiful, beautiful weather on Sunday. I hope you did what you should have done, and that is take advantage of that beautiful weather. Get out there, tailgate, and if you're tailgating, you do it with that Cigar City Invasion or High Life. Cigar City beer is available at liquor stores all across the Bay Area. And I saw it inside Raymond James Stadium on Sunday. I didn't see Cigar City High Life last year, but it's there this year. So now you can enjoy your High Life before, during, and after every single game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cigar City Brewing, a staple in Tampa Bay for years and years. And it's the only beer you should be eyeing when you go to that liquor store or to that restaurant. Cigar City Beer, do what I do. Make sure that you don't drink and drive. You know what I mean? All right, Bucks takes. Most people upset. Can always rely on Sweet Lou to bring some light to the darkness.
Justin, brother, this is Lou from Port Richey, man. Your correspondence at the end of this Cleveland fiasco, but we got her done. It's 3-3. I'm going to go to my partner right here, Mr. Outlaw. Mr. Outlaw, what do you say about this?
Man, thank you, Jabril Peppers. The next guy that says Jabril Peppers, you tell that guy to get the fuck out of here.
There we go, brother. There we go, man. What do you say about the game, brother?
Awesome. I don't have any fingernails left.
My man.
At least we didn't tie.
119, baby. 119 representing. 119. Brooksville, give me a little something.
Hey, went all the way almost to the end of overtime with the Browns. Not sure how I'm supposed to feel about that, but we got the dub.
All right, brother. All right. Stacy, a little something to add. A little something.
Hi.
Hi, okay. I'll take it. I'm fucking real. All right, let's go to the bell. Fellas, 119.
119 in the house. We pulled it off.
Woo-hoo. All right.
We're bringing Nasty back.
Well, we're 3-3. It wasn't a pretty one, but fuck it.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck it. Let's enjoy it. And hopefully enjoy a win streak. Let's get back on one, shall we? So great job. Good to hear from, who did I hear there? Lou, Outlaw, Steve and Stacy, the Widoms. I heard the 119 boys. Crazy, man. Crazy. We had a great time. Always have a good time Hanging out with those folks. All right, let's keep it rocking and rolling. Let's go up to the nosebleeds. Sammy was up there for it.
Cantanzaro! Yes! My heart hurts. My body hurts. My stomach hurts. I'm hurting. I can't take the pain no more. Bucks win! Bucks win! Bucks win!
Sammy, I felt the same way. A lot of Bucks fans felt the same way, man. It was crazy. It was fun. It was exciting. And in the end, we all had something big to celebrate. Thank you, Sammy. We go from Sammy to Casey. Hey, Casey.
Commish. It's Casey, a.k.a. Buckbeard. I just watched the end of this game. The game literally just ended. Cantanzaro, he made that 59-yard field goal just a minute ago, and oh my goodness. Honestly, I have a theory about this. I think if anything was going to break the Matt Bryant curse, that was it. We cut a guy who once made a 62-yard field goal to win the game, and if anything's going to break the curse, if there is a curse, this is it, because we just let a guy who had a bad day come out for a 59-yard attempt, and he made it. He redeemed himself from his bad day, and he'll probably at least play. He won't be cut this week, I don't think, but maybe he will. I don't know. But anyway, I am so thrilled that we did not lose. We did not tie. I am so thrilled that we actually won this game. Speak softly and carry a big stick.
Man, I am so glad Dirk Cutter didn't settle for the tie. If he punts, the best the Bucks can do in that scenario is tie. I am just take the shot. Take the shot. Cantanzaro redeems himself, and I know it's easy for all of you to say, just cut the kicker. But when you go from who, Connor Barth to Patrick Murray to freaking Aguayo to Nick Folk, and why is it that every kicker that comes to Tampa fucking forgets how to fucking kick the football? I'm done. I'm done blaming the kicker. I'm done blaming the kicker until we get confirmation that the snapper and the holder are doing the best job they possibly can and not playing a role here. In particular, Brian Anger is a holder. Love the guy as a punter, but since he has been the holder for this team, we have seen kicker after kicker come to this organization and forget how to fucking kick field goals. Shouldn't that be a question, as that is an important part of the kicking process? I'm glad he made the field goal. I think he can be a good field goal kicker. Is he the best kicker in the NFL? No, but I think he can be solid, and he gives you a threat to make these long field goals. He has the leg to do it. So I'm willing to ride with Cantanzaro, knowing what I know, because I think it's just more than just finding another kicker. There's more to it. Every kicker that comes to this town fucking loses it, misses field goals. I find it hard to believe that Cantanzaro falls into that same. Maybe it was. Maybe, in fact, it was a curse, the Matt Bryant curse. Maybe the one way to beat it was to get a long game winner today. So maybe, just maybe, we broke the curse of Matt Bryant and the Buccaneers' kicking woes have come to an end. Thanks, Casey. See you soon. T's up next. What up, T?
Justin and T in South Florida. I usually start off kind of angry. I'll just finish that way. Shout out to Carr Nassib. Way to play. Defense played well despite all the injuries. They gave us every opportunity to win this game. But fucking special teams. Fucking goddamn. The offensive play calling. Goddamn. Offensive line. All that money we have tied up in the offensive line. They look trash today. I'm sorry. Jameis, I defend you a lot. I defend you a lot. That overtime interception, that shit can't go. Them fucking sacks. We cannot have that. We cannot have that. But Dirk Cutter, sorry, bro. I don't know what's up with the personnel changes. Barber was getting off. He was doing whatever he needed to do. Why do we always see the same fucking rotation with Jacquizz at the end of the game? If you don't fucking trust the running backs that's on the squad, don't fucking play them. Just play Jacquizz the whole time. That shit was bullshit. The receivers, y'all ain't exempt. Y'all dropped a lot of fucking passes today. I want to be too negative. Yes, I'm happy about winning the fucking game, but in all my years of watching them, this fucking win made me feel sick because this shit could have. We tried to give this shit away. We tried to give this shit away. I don't want to be too fucking long winded with this shit. But man, they got to do better. Man, I hope Quan ain't hurt too bad. Hurry back, Kendall Beckwith. Fuck. Go Bucks.
Oh, man. I can't wait to see Kendall Beckwith back. We need that beast in the middle, man, especially if Quan's out. But man, I'm a Kendall Beckwith fan. As for the running backs, completely agree with you. I don't get this Jacquizz Rodgers infatuation. Well, he's not going to fumble the ball. All right, well, I mean, are you playing to win or what? I mean, I think Peyton Barber has done well. To me, Peyton Barber's the backup. You can see you can see the talent difference between Rojo and Peyton Barber, right? We can all see it. But how are we not finding a way to get Ronald Jones the ball 10 times in his hand a game? Even 7 times a game. I get it. Completely understand you got all the weapons. But he's a running back. You should be able to hand him the ball 5, 6, 7 times, throw him 3 passes in a game. That's not asking a ton. But they can't do it. It's almost like they refuse to do it. I mean, I'm with you, T. I'm not as pissed as you. I'm not as angry. It didn't make me sick. Man, I was happy after they won the game. I was way... Are you kidding me? This game didn't make me sick at all compared to the last two. The Falcons game and the Bears game. Those games made me sick. This game made me happy. Happy. Thanks, T. Good to hear from you. Damon, my man in Pinellas Park.
What's going on, Commission? Damon from P Park. And man, oh man. See, I don't even know where to start because I'm going to be honest. I love listening to the podcast. So I really don't call in as much because I just love listening to the feedback and what's going on. But woo! So, okay. I went to the Bucks and Steelers game because, you know, one of my little players on my team, he played for, you know, my team. So he loved the Steelers. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to bring you out to the game. You know, I love the Bucks. So let's go. And off rip, when I seen more supporters from the Steelers, see, you know, I'm not even going to get on that. Just when I seen that fucking Conte get his ass shitted to the ground, bro, get the fuck up out the building, bro. I knew when they kept his ass on the team, I'm like, our secondary going to be shitty, straight bogalack. So now we go to the Chicago Bears. For some, you know, we had a pitcher day, so I couldn't really watch the game when it started. So by the time I look on my phone, it's 24-3. I'm like, the fuck is this shit? Bro, I ain't even want to watch the game no more. I was through after that. I'm like, nah, I ain't watching this. I went back, watched 34-3. I'm like, oh my goodness. Y'all motherfuckers is pure garble. So then I'm like, okay. I got faith in my boy. I think we might have a little comeback. And then I ain't gonna lie, I was pissed off when I seen Jameis in the game. Like, bro, you is not gonna make no comeback for us right now, bro. You ain't even been on the field in about damn 18 weeks, bro. I ain't trying to see you right now, bro. This shit had me so fumed up when I seen Cameron Brett score a touchdown. I said, bro, I don't give a fuck about this shit, bro. It's way too late. Mike Smith, bro, I'm telling you, I'm about to take my shoe off and give you the motherfucking boot to get up out this shit, bro. Because I'm telling you right now, I had tickets to go to the fucking Bucks game with my nephew for the Cleveland Browns. And I'm so scared to fucking go. Because if we get our ass beat by the Cleveland fucking Browns, bro, I'm off the pad of my damn self. I'm running all the motherfucking Bucks players over. I mean, I know it might not work, but goddamn, this shit is fucking trash.
Not trash. They won. Not trash. They won. 3-3. 3-3. Defense looked improved. Offense finding its way. Every time I think the offense starts to have good rhythm, I don't know what happens. Penalty, play calling, just something happens. So I think they'll be all right. Again, like I said, Cleveland's one of the more underrated teams in the NFL. Their record does not reflect how good I think they are. Bengals are going to be tough. Bengals are going to be tough. They got power on offense and defense. But got to keep on. That's why I'm going to enjoy a win. There's only 16 games in the NFL, and the Bucs haven't won a lot of games over the last 15 years. I'm going to enjoy it, but like many of you, I get it. I understand. There is definitely things that need to be corrected. Right, Rodney?
Commish, Rodney in Dallas. We won the game in overtime, but this is how I feel. Fire Cat and Zara ass. Fuck him. Should never been a game in the first place. You miss an extra point, easy. You miss another field goal. We worked hard, got down to the NFL. Game winning kick. You push it again. Same upright. Defense played better. We lost Quan Alexander. I understand. Next man up. That's just the mentality of the game. That's just the way it goes. However, offense looked good. Jameis is keep the turnovers from happening. But other than that, okay, I can live with that. Still, fire Cat and Zara. Bucks for life.
No, no, no. They're not going to fire Catanzaro. Just made a 59-yard field goal to win a football game. Okay? Catanzaro, whether you all want to like it or not, statistically is the best kicker, I would guess, just from my eyes, best kicker that the Bucs have had in the last 5 years. Now, doesn't say much, but again, I mean, I think he's made more than he's missed. What does that tell you about Nick Folk and Roberto Aguayo? Down to Naples. Our buddy Jeremy's there. Hey, Jeremy.
Justin, fellow stick carriers. Jeremy from Naples here sending in a Bucs take. I see you, Coach Duffner. Way less uncontested throws today. That first half, the defense was balling, led by Quan Alexander. I think the linebackers have been kind of what the problem has been. They both had good games today. I see you, Quan. Levante, you were solid. Way to go. Sticking up for your positions, coach. I like it. As for Jameis, I love the guy. He is a franchise quarterback. I really believe that. And I know the first time he got the ball at the end of the game, he did drive him down there for a makeable field goal. As the kicker is, gotta make that. But in overtime, he was careless with the football. They got lucky to get out of there. As it is, we needed to win. 3-3 on to Cincinnati. That game is very winnable. Come on, stick carrier, support this team. Buy some tickets for the Redskins games. We need to fill this stadium with Bucks fans. Let's go. As always, speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
Jeremy, good to hear from you. A couple more Bucks takes. We'll wrap this baby up. Come back on Wednesday. How you feeling? Coming up on Wednesday's podcast. Now that you've had, and listen, I love the initial reaction during and after a game. But man, things do change over 24 hours. You're probably listening to this at least 24 hours after the game started, at least. You at least had a night to think about it. I want some Bucks takes for Wednesday. How do you feel now? Taking it all into account. They had the bye week. They fired their defensive coordinator. They put up record-breaking numbers in the first couple games of the season. Since then, the offense, and people are blaming Jameis Winston, but, and I, you know, tweeted this out because one of my buddies was like, well, ever since Jameis came back in, the offense has been different. And I think we also need to take into account that, you know, those first 2 weeks, the Bucs, I think they took teams by surprise when it came to their offense. Monk had calling plays, spreading it out a lot more, more 3-4 receiver sets, tight ends that are mismatches. It was different. You give NFL defensive coordinators 3, 4, 5 weeks, now they can make adjustments. I think defenses have made adjustments, and the Bucs' offensive play calling has not made the adjustments. Just my assessment. It's a simple guess on my part. But I would just ask you, how are you feeling now? Your defensive coordinator was fired. New defensive coordinator took over, who was the linebackers coach. I thought the linebackers had their best game. Quan Alexander was phenomenal in the first half. Then he goes down, could be out for the year. So it's like, oh, I feel good. Oh, wait, I don't feel good. But Beckwith could be back, so that's good. I thought the secondary played extremely well against the Browns. Again, taking into account, very young. I'm seeing three rookies out there right off the bat and a guy who's in his second year. So, okay, considering that, yeah, all right. Defensive line, much better. I mean, they were working hard. They were providing pressure. Jason Pierre-Paul took over a leadership role like I've never seen one take one over before. I liked it. I didn't mind not having Gerald McCoy out there. I kind of liked seeing the other guys. I don't mind seeing Golston at defensive tackle. Offensively, again, scored a lot of points. Come back down to earth. Thoughts on the run game? Thoughts on Ronald Jones? Do you think he's a bust because he's not playing? Or do you think that it's a raw deal that he's getting that he's not playing? Because I've seen enough flashes from him to say, I'd like to see him touch the ball a few more times. See if he can get into the rhythm of the game. What the Bucs are doing, Monken, Dirk Cutter, they're not allowing any of their running backs to get into any rhythm during the game. I mean, I don't remember who it was. Could have been Ernest Graham, could have been Allstott, could have been whomever. But they were like, I need 20 carries. I need to get into the rhythm of the game. I'm going to get stronger as the game goes on. But these current running backs for the Bucs, they don't get that luxury. That's why it's kind of just intriguing to me. So anyway, I'd love to get some of those Bucks takes. Like, all right, the emotion from the game is gone. I'm thinking about this realistically. They're 3-3. Do I think they're going to make the playoffs this year? No. Do I think they can be a legit threat to the playoffs this year? Maybe not. But I see a team that can be competitive throughout the entire season and not be out of the playoff hunt in October or early November. Maybe they win one against the Bengals and lose to the Panthers, and then come home, maybe beat the Redskins. Now all of a sudden it's like 4-3, 4-4, 5-4. Maybe they end up like an 8-8, 9-7, not making the postseason, which honestly would be a tremendous improvement from last year. And the only way they're going to get there this year is if their defense does continue to improve. And if their defense continues to improve and they do get to 8 or 9 wins, I mean, at this point, I have to look at it and say that would be a success for this season. The growth season, hopefully. BucksUncensored@gmail.com to send in your Bucks takes. Jerry's got his first one. He's never done one before until right now.
Justin Stick Carriers, this is Jerry out from New Jersey coming with my first Bucks take. Just got finished watching the game here a little while ago, and my, oh my, the way they played, that defense especially, had some great stops, had some good sacks, and really stepped up from last week, and you can just see the progression from Mike Smith's defense to Duffner's defense. Offense played pretty well, besides the turnovers. The turnovers really killed us there. That just can't happen anymore, so we definitely need to work on that. Catanzaro needs to go. I mean, he won us the game, but he's just not consistent enough. And if he had made that PAT earlier in the game, I'm sure the game would have gone differently. We would have not went into overtime. But I'm going to try to keep this short because I know we have a lot of Bucks takes coming in, obviously, after this win. So shout out to all the sponsors, all the fans, all the stick carriers, and I hope to see you guys down at the game soon. Go Bucks.
We hope to see you as well, Jerry, and really appreciate you taking the time, sending in that Bucks take and sharing your opinion. Again, you start to get into a regular season, and all of a sudden you start to find out who the actual fans are. that want the team to be successful and win, and who the fans are that just, you know, they just want to be right with their opinions. It's all over the Facebook page. And quite frankly, if one person makes you mad, just block them. Just block them. Don't try and argue with them or anything, because you're playing. Block them and send me a screenshot, and I'll remove them from the group. You know, this, if you want to be the smartest person in the room, go somewhere else. We're not looking for smart people. We want a whole bunch of dumb people like myself that just want the team to win. We'll debate, we'll discuss, we'll laugh, we'll make fun of people, make fun of ourselves. But I'll be damned if we're going to get into these heated personal attacks based off of opinions. Those days are done. Those days are done. Send me the screenshot, and I'll immediately remove somebody from the group if that's the case. All right? Let's clean it up. And you know what? The drought is over. It's over. It had been far too long since we had busted out those big old puppies, the big old titties, and put them right there on the table. Right, Mike?
Titties. Titties. Oh, wait, no. Defense. Defense. What the fuck? Chandler from the Friends, from the episode of Friends? Holy fuck. Yo, for real, that was fucking ridiculous. The whole game, bullshit. I don't know what the fuck is going on right now. What's up, Justin? It's Mike from Long Island here, aka Titties on the Table. Oh my goodness. That game was so ugly, but so amazing at the same time. Back and forth, bullshit, letting up. Ugh. Defense actually showed up for a change. The offense fucking make turnovers all day. Ah, dude, not a sound game at all. I'll take the fucking win. Baker Mayfield, what a pussy coming up, chirping after Whitehead hit him. Yeah, that's right, bitch. Enjoy that loss, dude. Enjoy the Browns, you fucking bitch. Let's fucking go, Justin.
Yes, titties on the table, and the Bucks get the win. Victory hummus, it's all flowing everywhere. Thanks to all of you for participating, for listening to this podcast. Last week, the numbers were bigger than they've been this entire year. This week could be even bigger. Bucks get the win. Maybe they won't be big. I wasn't screaming and yelling. Apparently, that's what y'all like. But I'm going to take it in. I'm going to evaluate. I'm going to sit back and enjoy next week's game. Fingers crossed, from Bay to from St. Pete to Plant City to Land O'Lakes to Sarasota, that the Buccaneers can go up to Cincinnati and get a win and be 4-3 heading to Carolina the following week. As fans, we can look ahead. The players better not. Thanks to our sponsors, Buffalo Wild Wings. We had a tremendous watch party there last week for the Falcons game. We've got a couple more coming up. Wanted to pick that Carolina Panthers game in just a couple of weeks. We'll be at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Brandon for that one, and then we'll be at the Bucks Giants road game. So the Bucks are on the road in Carolina. Next week they're in Cincinnati, then Carolina, then they're home for the Redskins, then they're at the Giants. At the Giants, we will be watching it from the Buffalo Wild Wings in Pinellas Park. Those are Cigar City Brewing Bucks Uncensored watch parties. We love Cigar City beer. Whether you want the strong one and the high lie, or you just want that invasion, which is ideal for Bucks games, whether they're on the road or at home, you got to get your invasion. I mean, it goes right with the pirate theme. Cigar City, we love them. We love Mastro Subaru. God, those guys are phenomenal, fantastic guys. Pete and Steve at Mastro Subaru take care of Bucks fans like no dealership does. Go there. Tell them you're a stick carrier. Tell them you're a Bucks fan. You get special pricing off just from me, the commish, and those guys at Mastro Subaru. Two locations, one in Orlando, one right here off of Hillsborough near the Veterans in Tampa. Mastro Subaru and MastroSubaru.com. It has been a while, but if I'm going to dress like Chris Pratt for Halloween and go as Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy, I had to grow my hair out just a little bit. But I will be going to see Christian from Headlines Barbershop just after Halloween. Nobody's going to get me high and tight like that dude does. And the reason I feel good on Monday is probably the reason you don't feel good on Monday. See, I had my B4. went to drinkb4.com. They shipped them right to my house. Or you can go to a local ABC liquor. They've got them all over the place. B4, it's what you drink before you drink to avoid that hangover, especially on a Monday after a victory Sunday, bitches. B4, again, what you drink before you drink. The next time you make your Sunday a Sunday fun day, like Gerald McCoy, make sure you have your B4, and Monday will be a fun day for you as well. Thank you to all of you for continuing to spread the word. The word continues to get out. There's so many Bucks fans out there that have not even heard of the Bucks Uncensored podcast. I know, shocked am I as well. Spread the word, tell your friends. Let's build this community together. The days of speaking softly might be coming to an end, and that's just because we might be getting a lot louder as the season gets into the second half here. Have a wonderful week. Back on Wednesday with more of your Bucks takes. Cannot wait to hear from each and every one of you. As for me, we go right back into the words of Dirk Cutter. And they're almost there. They haven't busted it out. So instead of the full phrase, we'll just end with this. Speak softly and carry a pretty average size stick. Nailed it.
Go Bucks.